And away we go. Scott Spears back with you here on this Monday, March the 9th, 2023. 9:20:20, 14 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and we've got a special treat for you this hour. We're going to do some trivia and some other things, talk about some other things. But as many of you know, I went down to Nashville, Tennessee about two and a half weeks ago now. And one of the really interesting people who has made their life and career in Nashville, Tennessee, is performer Ray Stevens. Now, if you don't remember Ray Stevens, every kind of music kind of has a person who does comedy with that brand of music. Weird Al Yankovic does it for many brands of music. There are other people who do it. Well, country music's version of Weird Al Yankovic, and long before there was a Weird Al Yankovic, who took music and just made funny songs. Now, he's done some serious songs as well, but who really made his mark by doing funny songs was Ray Stevens. Did songs like The Streak and Guitar Zan and songs of that nature. Now, was supposed to do an interview with Ray Stevens when I was in Nashville. He's a 2019 Country Music Hall of Famer. Did not get the chance to do that because of a timing issue while we were down there. So, last week, I was able to catch up with Ray Stevens, and we've got about 15 minutes here with the legendary funny man himself, Ray Stevens. Did you ever want to know about Ray? Well, you're about to find out. Here's 15 minutes, and then we'll come back with much more here on the Now program. Don't go away. Scott Spears with you here, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, and today we have got a real treat. A first-time visitor to this program, but we hope not a last-time visitor to this program. He is a legend, a 2019 Country Music Hall of Famer who has produced some of the most hilarious, brilliant music ever in country music, in all of music for that matter. Songs like Guitar Zan and The Streak, which I'm sure you remember. Of course, I talk about legendary country music artist and comedian Ray Stevens. And I want to let you know that Ray Stevens Cabaret Showroom will be kicking off its 2020 season March the 12th, right around the corner. If you want information on that, go to raystevens.com. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones the legendary funny man performer himself, Ray Stevens. Ray, how are you?
Well, Scott, other than the fact I'll never live up to that introduction, I'm fine, and it's good to talk to you.
Absolutely great to have you on the show, Ray. 2020 season right around the corner. What should people expect?
Well, I don't know. I hope they can expect a good show. We're working hard to make that happen, and we've added to the band, and it's just we've made some structural changes to the building itself, so it's really going to be a lot of fun when we do get open, which is I think it's only 5 days from now.
Right around the corner. Do you get excited for openings like this?
Pardon me?
Do you get excited for openings like this?
Oh, yeah, a little bit, sure.
It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Ray, I want to go back here a little bit. Where did you grow up? What was your childhood like?
Well, I grew up in a little cotton mill town in North Georgia, about 20, 25 miles north of Atlanta. And It was a lot of fun growing up in a little village like that because you knew everybody and everybody knew you. You couldn't get lost. And it was a lot of fun. The mill was on a big hill in front of my house, and we used to, and it had flat spots, so we, the kids in town used to go up there and play baseball, you know, and it was, like I say, it was a lot of fun.
How did you get involved in music?
Well, my mother wanted me to take piano lessons, and my dad bought an old piano, and I started taking lessons from a lady in the next town. We didn't, our population wasn't big enough to have anyone that taught piano, but it was only 2 miles to the next town, so I took piano lessons when I was six. And I didn't want to do that, but my mother kind of made me do it, so to speak, and I'm glad she did because I wanted to be a baseball player, but I didn't get big enough to be a baseball player. So I've kind of fallen back on that musical talent, so to speak.
Where did the comedian part come in? How did those two come together?
I don't know. You know, I started recording, made my first record in 1957, and I couldn't get arrested with a hit, so I decided, well, I'll do something different. So I wrote and recorded a song called Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. You might remember him. And he was taken off, that record was taken off pretty good, and we got a letter from the people that owned the character, Sergeant Preston, to cease and desist. We couldn't use him in a song. So it broke my heart, but it gave me a clue because I knew that I could write comedy songs and people would buy them. So I wrote another song called Jeremiah Peabody's Polyunsaturated, quick-dissolving, fast-acting, pleasant-tasting, green and purple pills. And that was a small hit, and then I followed that with Ahab the Arab, which was a big hit in 1962.
When you get a big hit like that, how does your life change?
Well, I don't know. You know, up to that point, I had moved to Nashville in 62, January 2nd, as a matter of fact, and I'd moved up here to play piano on recording sessions. And I was playing sessions, you know, three and four a day up here, and I had to stop playing recording sessions, piano on recording sessions, because I had to go on the road and milk the windfall that Ahab the Arab created, you know, so it changed quite a bit.
You know, today, Ray, there is so much made of political correctness in comedy. What is your take on that? What is it like when you go out and perform today?
Oh, I don't think anybody thinks any of my songs are politically incorrect. However, one news anchor on MSNBC called Ahab the Arab a racist song, and I said, how in the world did this guy come up with that conclusion? Because there's nothing at all racist about Ahab the Arab. I wrote the song from my memories of reading a book as a kid called Tales of Arabian Nights, about, you know, they had Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves and Open Sesame, and all those things were in the book, and so I just, you know, threw a song together, and it's now racist, but not really, because that guy at NBC, MSNBC, I'm sure he had never heard the song.
When you look at writing a comedy song, because a lot of people attempt this, but not many succeed, what are the characteristics you need to have a good comedic song?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, it's just sort of a feeling you get about the subject matter, mainly. Is this subject matter going to evoke interest from the general public? And has it got a hook? Has it got a weird sound, you know, that you can incorporate into the lyric? And as in the case of Ahab the Arab, it was the camel noise. And Fatima, the harem girl, who laughed every chance she got. And so, you know, it's just a lot of a lot of things thrown in together.
When you're writing a song, do you know if it's going to be a hit or not? Do you say, boy, this is a good song?
You never know, but some songs you do. When I wrote The Streak, I knew that was going to be a hit. When I wrote Guitar Zan, I knew that was going to be a hit. When I wrote Everything Is Beautiful, I knew that was going to be a hit. There's just certain songs you get a feeling about, and you're never wrong.
Is there a characteristic that those three songs have that makes them hits?
Yeah, they have something in common with what everybody in our society is thinking at that time. And, you just have to be there to know what I'm talking about. But when I wrote all those songs, I was in tune with what was going on in the world at that time.
Has there ever been a song that you put together that you thought was going to be a hit and didn't turn out as big as you thought?
I'm sure there is, but I promptly forgot it.
That's the best thing to do in those situations.
I guess so.
Yeah. When you look back at your career, do you have a favorite song to perform?
No. I like to do them all. You know, the audience came there to see me do those songs, and for one thing, and you just can't go around and leave those songs out and expect people to understand, you know. So even though I've done them a million times, I still take pleasure in doing them again.
In 2020, which song gets the biggest response?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. It's Me Again, Margaret might get a big response. But no song gets the biggest, I mean, that I could say. There's all kinds of different audiences will respond differently to, different songs.
You have this Ray Stevens Cabaret Showroom, again, 2020 season. For more information, go to raystevens.com. How did this all come about?
Well, you know, I've been on the road since I can remember, and I've played every place you can play, and I'm a frustrated architect in the first place, and so every place I'd play, I'd kind of make notes about what I liked and what I didn't like about the venue. And a few years ago, about 5-6 years ago, I decided to put all my notes together and build this place just for fun. And it's one of those things that started to snowball. It was going to cost this much, and it wound up costing way more than I had planned to spend, but I got into it and I was having fun doing it, so I went ahead and finished it, and it turned out really well. It's just like I wanted it to turn out. One of my favorite places to play was Las Vegas, a place called the Desert Inn, which was a small showroom. The showroom was called the Crystal Room, and it only seated about 650 people, but I built this place to seat 700, and I wanted a place that people could sit at a table, have a sandwich, have a meal, have a drink, and see the show, like the showroom at the Desert Inn in Vegas. And so I got a lot of ideas from that place in Vegas, and people, sure enough, they're tired of sitting like a bunch of sardines in long rows of theater seats, where if you have to go to the bathroom, you have to say, excuse me, 9 times before you can get to the aisle. And people seem to enjoy this, and so it's turned out really well.
That is tremendous. Ray, what did the music video do for some of your songs?
Oh, the music videos have been very instrumental in people being familiar with Ray Stevens and a lot of the songs that I've made. I did one in 92 called Comedy Classics, Video Comedy Classics, and gosh, it was only 8 songs, 8 videos in the package. It was on VHS, that's how long ago it was, but it wound up selling about 5 million copies, and it was very instrumental in teaching people who I was and what my songs were, and they show up at the theater, or at the showroom, I should say, now, the cabaret, and tell me that they grew up watching the videos. So since then, I've made countless others, and you can see them on YouTube and the computer, the internet, but those first ones sort of paved the way.
They certainly did. I remember those very well. Ray, when you look back at the career, is there anything you regret doing? Do you have any regrets at all?
Oh, yeah, gosh, and I'm not going to talk about them, but I've made some giant mistakes, but, you know, you just have to take that with the understanding that everybody does, and you can't make every decision the right one, so I'm pretty happy with the way things have gone over the years.
For people who have seen your videos and listened to your music for more than a half century now, if they were to meet you, what would they be surprised to learn about Ray Stevens? What don't we know?
I do not know. I cannot answer that. you know, who knows what conclusions people draw when they haven't seen somebody in so many years and see them for the first time during a long time lapse. I mean, that's a question I don't think anybody can answer.
I bet a lot of people would think that you're funny all the time.
No. I don't think anybody's funny all the time. I mean, you know, well, Robin Williams might have been. I don't know. But, yeah, there are some, and some of the other comedians, which is, that's all they do. I mean, they do comedy, and that's it. But, you know, I started out as a musician and a songwriter and a singer, and I just kind of slipped into the comedy part of it because when I'd get on stage, I'd have to segue between the songs, and I would tell the joke or two, you know, and that's how that came about. And plus, some of the records I made were comedy records.
Mm. Ray, at this point, is there still something you want to do in the career that you have not succeeded with?
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know. There probably is, and after we hang up, I'll think of it. But right now, I'm drawing a blank here.
100 years from now, when people look back at these videos, because they'll still be there and so will the songs, what do you hope they remember about Ray Stevens, the artist?
Well, I guess I hope they remember that I tried to contribute to the entertainment part of the world, and that I was a fairly nice guy, and I had a lot of fun doing what I do. So I guess that's about all anybody can hope for.
That's not bad at all. And still performing, Ray Stevens, 2019 Country Music Hall of Famer, Guitars and the Streak, some of the greatest funny songs you will ever hear. Don't forget the Ray Stevens Cabaret Showroom 2020 season kicks off March the 12th. Go to raystevens.com. All kinds of merchandise and information about the showroom. Ray, this is the first time you've been on. I hope it's not the last, and I hope we can talk again real soon.
I hope it's not the last two, Scott. Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Stay well.
Bye-bye.
Fairgrounds.
And there you go, the legendary Ray Stevens. How about that? 5 million copies. Can you believe that, of that Ray Stevens video? Who is old enough to remember the Ray Stevens came out? I remember seeing those videos so often. The infomercials is what they were called back in those days for those videos. But the legendary Ray Stevens, we thank him a lot for coming on the program. First time visitor to this program. And now, if you do take a trip to Nashville, once everything's cleaned up down there, you have something else to do. The Cabaret Showroom. How about that? Who knew Ray Stevens had his own little place down in Nashville? How about that? Any questions, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 32 minutes past the hour. Does anybody have remembrances of Ray Stevens? He was a very funny man. People loved his song, The Streak. Guitar Zan was a great song, but people loved that song, The Streak. I don't know what it was about that song, but it appealed to a large audience. And he also did a Christmas song, I remember, Santa Claus is Watching You. And I remember that was a very big hit, and people love to play that song at Christmas time. So, I'm sorry we did not get a chance to interview Ray Stevens when I was in Nashville, but I'm certainly glad that we had a chance to have him on the program this morning. So, any thoughts or reminiscences about Ray Stevens, give me a call, 740-383-9944. He was, is certainly an original, to be sure. All right, what else do we want to talk about here this morning? You know, there's something I'm going to talk about, but I want to get some confirmation on it, so I'm going to save that for tomorrow morning. And we've got a special guest coming up on Wednesday, going to be here with us in the studio all Wednesday morning, so don't miss that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp comes up when this show's over today, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Then we have Voice of the People with Linda Sims today, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the Mike Wilson Show, 5:10 until 6 p.m. You don't want to miss any of those programs. Now, oh, I know what I wanted to do. I wanted to get back to this video that was made, because I want to talk about this just for one more moment. Because here's the thing about this video that somebody made for me over the weekend online. What it made me think about, because there are some pictures in there of me interviewing various people, like Betty White, and Bea Arthur, and Buster Douglas, and Phil Donahue, and Amazing Kreskin, and Mary Ellen Withrow, and people like that. You know, it's been going on so long now, this career, you know, almost two decades, that, you know, you look at those pictures and you think, oh, man, Flippo the Clown, there's a picture of me in there with Flippo the Clown. I know a lot of you remember him from this area. And I think, my goodness, you know, time does pass by. Isn't that amazing how quickly time goes by? It seems like I was doing these things yesterday. And some of the funny things about the pictures in this video, the pictures are not as crisp as pictures would be today, because back in those days we were using actual film and cameras. We were not using cell phones and digital anything. That's how far back it goes back. And I was trying to think, I know some of those pictures are online, but I wonder where the original pictures are. You know, that sprung in my head over the weekend. I don't like the Bea Arthur and the Betty White, and there were some other ones, the Flippo the Clown. Those were all taken with actual cameras. And I was thinking, I wonder where the original shots of those pictures are, because there were some other people who I interviewed like that in those days. I remember interviewing Debbie Reynolds. I remember interviewing Vicki Lawrence. And those pictures were all just pictures that were taken, you know, with a camera. Polaroid. Was it a Polaroid? I don't think it was a Polaroid. Just a regular disposable camera that you used to have to go and get developed. So, does anybody still have a camera? Now, there's a question. Is anybody still operating with an old-fashioned camera? 740-383-9944. Or have those things completely gone by the wayside? 740-383-9944. Does anybody still use an old-fashioned camera? I would guess that people do not, but you know what? You never know. Give me a call, 37 minutes past the hour. And again, we thank Ray Stevens for coming on. And again, I thank the person who did not want to be mentioned who made that video for me, which so many people have watched. Now, here was a funny thing. This video went up on YouTube yesterday, not YouTube, Facebook yesterday. And somebody asked me, make the video shareable. Now, again, this is one of my tech issues, I guess. I thought it was shareable. You know, there's a little share button down in the right-hand corner of the video. I thought, well, why can't the video be shared? And I was kind of busy yesterday, so I didn't have a chance to look at why it was not shareable. So, of course, I had to Google it. That's how we figure out all our problems now. We Google them and figure them all out. And you know, there's a little thing I guess you have to change when you put a video out or put a picture out to allow people to share it to make it public. Who knew you had to do this? But I changed that last night. So if you want to go share the video now on Facebook, it is there under my Facebook page, Scott Spears. So you have that. But again, want to thank the person who made the video because, again, to do something personalized like that really is much more meaningful. Even, you know what, even if it doesn't mean anything to the person who did it, the fact that they took the time to do it means something. Because even if it only took 5 minutes, and trust me, this took more than 5 minutes because you had to scour through these pictures because some of these pictures went way back, and you did have to decipher which ones you were going to use and not use. To do that, I just think it's much more personal, much more meaningful than if you buy somebody a gift. Buying somebody a gift is fine, and a lot of us are not crafty. See, I would have to go into the buying a gift category because I'm not crafty at all. But to do that, to be able to do that, was great. And that video is something I will now have forever. That's the great thing about the digital age. I will have that video forever, and when I'm old and gray-er, I'll be able to look back and say, oh, well, that was fun. And you know what? I'll always think of that person when I watch the video because I know who did it. So as long as I don't lose my mind, which I don't think is going to happen, but you never know. So as long as I don't lose my mind, I'll always remember that person who made that video, who went to that length to do it. And I think I was talking about this back at Christmas time. Every year, when I put the Christmas tree up, of course, I get the Christmas ornaments out. And I have an ornament that years ago, when I was in college, I worked in a shoe store. And I worked with an older lady at that shoe store who one year crocheted everybody an ornament for their Christmas tree. And mine was a snowman. And I've had this ornament now for probably close to 20 years. And every Christmas, I go into the box. I don't think about it during the year, but every Christmas, I pull out that snowman ornament, and I think about that person who made that ornament so many years ago. And to me, that is interesting. And I think the same thing will happen with this video, and that's kind of the things we're doing today with videos and things of that nature. So there you go. So that's why I appreciate the video. That's why I appreciate the people or the person who did the video. And there you go. So thanks for that. And I know a lot of people liked watching it, obviously, because there were a lot of comments and there were a lot of likes. So thank you. And I guess that's all we have to say about that this morning. All right. Told you about the trip to McDonald's this morning. I tell you, people are a little bit on edge today. You better be careful when you're out in society today because people are definitely out on edge. Now, why are they out on edge today? I think it's because they lost an hour of sleep yesterday. That's about the best thing I can figure. They lost an hour of sleep, so they might be a little cranky today. So just be careful if people are out there doing things. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
That's why I suggested for Valentine's Day buying somebody a plant. Because when you look at that plant, you think of that person.
Well, I think that's true. The only thing I had with the plant is, like, for me, I think I would probably kill the plant within 2 or 3 weeks. So it would be long forgotten in my mind.
Well, try not to.
I do not have a green thumb. I just am, I can't, I don't know what it is. I don't know anything about soil, annuals, perennials. I always get that messed up. I'm not good at that.
Yeah, Joelle, buy a destructible house plant.
What is probably the most indestructible houseplant? What would I have a hard time
there's
killing?
There's a plant out called, it's basically called a ZZ plant, and it's pretty much you can grow it even in a closet.
Really?
Yeah. You water it, you let it completely dry out, and then you water again.
Well, you know, the interesting thing to me was, because I think we live in a digital age now, and I don't know how many people are still crocheting like this woman did 20 years for me ago.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah, it is, and every year I see it, and it's only up on the tree for a month, so it doesn't have any wear and tear on it or anything. And I always think about her, and I don't see her anymore. She's still with us, but I don't see her anymore. And the thing about it is, with this video, I was thinking, because it was totally unprompted for this person to do this, I never thought they would do that. You know, I saved it to my desktop, and I think in today's terms, that is something I will look back and always think about that person.
Oh, you'll cherish it forever.
And you know, the funny thing is, they do not want me to say who it is because they said, I didn't do this to get credit, which I also think is a very cool thing.
True. That's true.
So that's a good, solid, well-natured, what do I want to say here? That's a person with good character, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling.
I just wanted to kind of plug the houseplants again.
I appreciate it. Keep plugging away with the... I'm going to get one and try not to kill it. I don't have any real plants in my house right
another,
now.
Another good one is called a Sansevieria. A lot of people call them snake plants or mother-in-law tongues.
Mother-in-law tongues.
Yeah, so that's a good one.
And we all know you can never kill a mother-in-law's tongue.
No.
No, they never go away.
All right.
Hey, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, that's an interesting conversation to have about gifts that remind you of people that you will keep forever. Does anybody have anything out there, gift-wise, that you have had forever that reminds you of a particular person who might have made that gift for you? I don't make anything. I'm not good at making anything. Every Christmas, I say I'm going to make everybody a snow globe, and I have not gotten around to doing it yet. But I do try to write in cards. That's something I always try to do. I never give a card unless I have written some kind of personalized message in it, because I think that's important. I think a lot of people keep cards, or at least they used to. This is why I'm not into emailing cards, because I don't think people keep those. But I'm into, you know, taking a card, and there's something about your handwriting, and you write a message in there, you know, and I'm not talking about like a couple lines. You know, you write a paragraph or something like that, and you give it to the person, and, you know, they keep it. I know people keep wedding cards. I know people keep graduation cards, and they'll pull them out, you know, when they're retired 40 years from now, and maybe you're long dead, but your message will still be in that card. And you know, there are a lot of people who have went on to their reward who I have cards from, who were at my graduation parties and birthday cards and Christmas cards and things of that nature, that sometimes I'll run across one of their cards going through a box or something, and I'll pull that out and I'll see their handwriting and I'll see the message they wrote, and it makes me think of them even though they are long gone from this particular earth. So it's important. It's important. You know, I saw, this is kind of interesting. This is a good topic. I don't know if we were done this on the station, but I saw a report the other day where, I'm trying to remember exactly what the report was, but essentially the gist of it was that people were dating and they kept, the girl had found notes. No, maybe it was the guy. Maybe it was the guy. The guy had found notes. Now, he's maybe he was married. Anyway, the two people were together. And the guy found notes that his girlfriend had been keeping from a previous relationship. Love notes. And the husband was not very pleased with this. But the wife said she kept them just as a memory of that person and kind of a pick-me-up, a self-esteem booster, that this person had said such nice things about them. Now, is that okay to do? Now, that's an interesting question. Is it okay, even though you might not like that person anymore, because obviously you're with the current person, is it okay to keep notes from a previous relationship, even though you're in a new relationship? That's kind of fascinating. Or if you were the person who found these notes, would that tick you off if your spouse or significant other had notes like that? What's your opinion on that? 48 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Would it bother you if somebody kept notes from a previous relationship that were, I guess, in a loving fashion toward your significant other? Would that bother you? Would you want them to get rid of them? Would you get rid of them yourself? Because if I remember right, the end of the story was that the person who found the notes, and it wasn't their notes, I think destroyed them. And it kind of ticked off the other person and caused a little problem with that particular relationship. So, is that okay? Is it okay to keep love notes or cards or any type of thing like that from a previous relationship, even though it's long over? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I bet men and women, I bet this is one of those topics where men and women might feel differently when it comes to this topic. Because my guess is that, see, I don't know why it's a big deal, because people keep yearbooks, and a lot of times if you're dating somebody in high school, you might write something that is very loving in a yearbook. I don't know if the new significant other would make you throw the yearbook away. That doesn't seem very sensible, in my opinion. But I don't know. What do you think? Would it bother you? Would you try to get rid of the letters or whatever they were? See, here's my opinion on this whole thing. If the person is with you now, what do you care what somebody said to them 5, 10 years, 6 months ago? Who cares at this particular point? Because at this particular point, they've chosen you. Now, if you think they've got the wandering eye, well, that's a whole nother thing. You know, if you can't trust somebody, then I'm not sure why you're with them anyway. You need to get out of there. Get out. Run away is what you should do in that particular situation. But I don't... Keeping old notes, who cares? As long as you know that they are not with that person. Now, jealousy will kill you. You've got to get rid of the jealousy. You can't have jealousy. And I think I've said this before, and I've said it on podcasts, I know, that, you know, if somebody's going to do something extracurricular, they're going to do it, whether or not you're aware of it or not. So, are you able to forgive it? Does it hurt the trust? I don't know. To me, people are going to do what they want. Human beings are human beings, and they're going to do what they want, and you can't stop them. Now, marriage is a different thing. If you're married, okay, don't do that. That's bad. That's a breach of the marriage vows. But other than that, I really, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, okay. I don't know that that's forever, but I think some people think it's forever until it ends, until it's not. You know, that's a good quote. I want to write that down. Some people think it's forever until it's not. That's the quote I want chiseled into my tombstone. Does anybody have an opinion on this? 740-383-9944. You know how we are as people. you know, we see somebody we like, and all of a sudden they are the greatest thing in the world. You're so great. You're so amazing. You're the best. And then one thing ticks us off about them, and all of a sudden we have got problem city. You know, there's a story I could tell right now, but I can't tell it because the person, well, I don't even know if the person listens to the show, to be honest with you. I think periodically they might listen to the show. So I'm not going to tell this story, but, you know, it's in this area. And it doesn't have to do with marriage. There's no marriages involved. But it has to do with, you know, torn feelings. You know, and I don't know what you do when you have torn feelings. I guess you pick the person with the most money. That's not a good answer. I don't know what you do. I don't know. I just know you got to be happy. You have to be happy. That's the way it goes. And I cannot tell that story because I don't want to tick the person off. So, can't do it. 54 minutes past the hour. Do you have any opinion on this? Anybody out there listening right now, I'd love to hear your opinion. If you found that your current significant other had letters from a previous relationship that were of a loving nature and you found out about it, would it tick you off? Would you be upset if they kept these letters? 740-383-9944. Now, I will admit, I do keep letters, and I will say that people have written me nice letters over the years, and I have kept those letters, and I don't know that it's ever been a problem, because I don't particularly get them out and read them all the time. I guess the secret to this is keep them in a place where they won't find them. That's how you get around this whole problem. So that's the way it goes. And just remember, forever is not always forever. I hate to say this, but I keep telling people, and I wish they would listen. And this is not just because I have a dour outlook on marriage at this particular point. For my age group. Not for the older age group. I think the people before text messaging had this right. But my age group and below, 40 and under, I think that it's a tough proposition because I think there are too many temptations. And I also think that everybody goes in thinking everything's going to be forever, and sometimes it's just not. But if you ask the person at the time, of course they're going to say it's forever. Or why else would they be in that relationship? Why would you be in a relationship if you didn't think it was going to be forever? Of course you think it's going to be forever. So it's kind of hard to get through to that person at that particular point. But everybody's got to make their own decisions. All I know is that there are things a lot of times that you think would never work in 1,000 years... until you spend time with that person alone. That's an interesting subject to get into with like 4 minutes left to go. But, you know, you can be around somebody a lot in social settings and not really have any feeling toward them at all except, okay, they're a nice person. But then you spend some time with them alone or it's just the one-on-one thing. And then you start to see them in a different way. Now, has that ever happened? That's a big topic because that can happen. It's hard to understand somebody when you're in a social group. It's not so hard to understand them when it's just one-on-one. And have you ever developed something for somebody after you were with them? One-on-one for a while? That's kind of interesting. All kind of interesting stories this morning. 57 minutes past the hour. Does anybody have an opinion? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or it can go the other way, by the way. And the other way is you spend alone time with them and you find out you cannot stand them. That they are awful. They are just misery. misery, misery. See, that's what happens with me. In the beginning, I think the person is great. And then about 3 months in, sometimes a little longer, depending on the person, I start to think, oh man, what in the world was I thinking? My brain must have been out to lunch at that particular time. And that is what happens. Now, if you would have asked me at the time, I might have thought it was forever. But as time goes by, as they say, that kind of passes. We have time for one phone call if somebody would like to call. Don't forget, special guest on the program Wednesday morning for the duration, 8 to 10 a.m. Don't miss that. And something I want to talk about, kind of special, tomorrow morning that could impact the rest of the week here on WWGH, so you want to stay tuned for that as well. And do want to thank Ray Stevens for being on the program this morning. Legendary country music artist. What a talent he is. And always great to have a 2019 Country Music Hall of Famer on the program. Mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp is up next. 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5. And the Mike Wilson Show, 5:10 until 6 p.m. today. 59 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio Time. What an interesting conversation today turned into. And that's the way it goes. And again, I want to thank the person who made the video that so many people have watched and shared and commented on. That was really super nice, even though I will not say the person's name, because they do not want me to. But what a nice thing to do. I really appreciated it. It was a thoughtful act. And as somebody commented this morning, stuff like that stays with you forever because it is personal and not store-bought. And 50 years from now, I'll pull off that video and I'll say, oh, I remember when that person did something nice. Isn't that nice? All right. That's it for me today. Stay tuned to WWGH Radio.
1.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place for legendary talk show host Larry King.
You were hurt when they gave you the 1 year. How did this make you feel when you got the news? 10 years with that company.
Well, you know, it's never easy. You know, I mean, I could have.